Hello and welcome to another Outlet at Home experience. We're Vince and Ashley Thomas, lead pastors of the Outlet Community Church, and it is our honor to come wherever you are in the world today. Whether you're watching live, you're listening to the podcast, or catching the rebroadcast, we are so excited to be able to just speak life into your hearts. For those who are watching for the very first time, we want to say hello and welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for investing a portion of your day to hearing what God has in store for us. For everyone else, welcome back. We really kicked off this taboo
series. Y'all, I don't know. We just kind of came with it last week. Amen.
All right.
So I'm ready to pick back up. You ready to pick back
up? I am too.
Yeah.
So we're in part two of our taboo relationship edition. And as true to form, we will tell you all what the word for the day is in just a moment. But go with us to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at the second part of the differences between the works of the flesh and Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And really the reason we decided to call this taboo is that the word taboo actually means something that either society or culture deems inappropriate to talk about. So we want to have conversations that typically don't get addressed when we're talking about relationships from a church perspective. And we want to have honest, open dialogue because we believe that if your relationships improve and you're living in a place where you're experiencing healthy relationships, that's going to impact your ability to increase the quality of your life no matter where you are, whether it's on the job, in your business, with your friends, with your spouse, with your family, with your children. Our goal should be to improve in our relationship. But this text right here that we're looking at, I believe will do just that.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
And so in Galatians 5, verse 22 through 24, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Verse 24. "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Today, the word that we're going to discuss, last week was foul play. Mm-hmm. This week, we're talking about fair play. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time in the word. As now we're going to look at your design for healthy relationships, the characteristics. Most importantly, Father, we thank you that healthy relationships are birthed from you because you are love, you are life, and you've given us your Spirit to live within so that we could demonstrate that in all of our walks and relationships in our life. Help us to completely decrease, Father, so that you may get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So as we're looking at fair play, you know, if we look at this from a sports term, when something is foul, it's out of bounds.
Right.
But when something is fair, it's within the parameters or the guidelines that are given for us. And the Bible here in Galatians chapter 5 gives us the parameters where we can build healthy relationships. And so no matter what season of life you're in, no matter what type of relationship you're in, when you compare what you're experiencing or what you're building to the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, you will notice that in the long term, in the long while, it's like investing in an account that gains compounded interest over time. The more you can commit to ordering your life to the fruit of the Spirit, the longer you're in the relationship, the more fruit that you'll get from
it. Yeah, I love that you compared that to an agriculturian. Is that how you say it?
Agricultural term.
Agricultural.
You just
society.
Like me. I make up
I
words,
know.
Too.
Yeah, I'll be making up all kinds of words. Anyway, so yes, because it's true, like we think, okay, if I showed love to this person one day, why ain't they changed? Like, it should just happen immediately. But in relationship, it does take time. And seeds, it takes a while to see a seed grow out of the ground, right? It takes a while to see what you've planted come back to you. And so it is a level of patience required, I think, in planting seeds in fair play.
But, you know, these fruits that we're seeing, I mean, just the word patience alone, like cultivating the fact that I am not going to change who I am based off of the lack of someone else changing who they are, meaning I'm not going to tank my attitude because somebody else's attitude has tanked.
Yeah, and I will say, too, in our society, patience is really a cuss word. Nobody wants to hear about having patience. I mean, we live in an instant society. We get Uber Eats now. You get food, fast food at your door.
They deliver fast food.
They deliver fast food.
That's right.
They do. And so when you talk about a concept of patience, this is a concept that's going to require a lot of self-control on our aspect to see something through all the way to the end and not bail on it just because it hasn't happened instantaneously.
So today, what we really want to do is I want to touch a taboo topic, and that is submission.
Oh, that is taboo.
In relationships. And if you go with me, we're in Galatians. If you go over one book to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and I want to look at verse 21, because often in marriage and often in relationship teaching, we start at verse 22 as it relates to submission.
Yeah.
So the common thread is wife submit, woman submit.
You've heard that a lot.
That submission is a female responsibility. But in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. To give some context on this scripture, the previous three verses were talking about living a spirit-filled life. So really keeping in line our opening text, the fruit of the Spirit. So when you're constantly spending time in the Spirit, and this is important for relationships, what type of energy, what type of vibe, what type of presence do you leave behind in your relationships? And that's something that we need to ask. Like, what do people unbiasedly think about you? How are you as a friend? How are you as a family member? How are you as a boyfriend? How are you as a girlfriend? How are you as a husband? How are you as a wife? What reputation have you built with the fruit that you've produced?
That's good stuff. Makes yourself reflect.
So as we're looking at submission here, it says submit to one another.
I like that. I think that's the part that some men skip. And I think that's why it's become so taboo, ladies. I feel like when you hear this word passed around, tossed around, it's always in reference to us. It's like what we need to do. The women need to submit. The woman, you know, you're the person. But we never talk about what submission looks like from a male perspective. And how if you're submitting one to another, what does that look like from the man's perspective? What does that look like for you?
So there's layers to this. Somebody type in, there's layers to this. So there's layers to this. And I want to give just some insight into submission. First and foremost, we are never to submit to a person until we're married. Ooh, let me pack that up. We are never supposed to submit to a person until we're married. So what you saying, Willis, that we're to submit to one another, here's the key, out of reverence to Christ. So prior to marriage, so outside of the marriage relationship, we're going to, don't worry, married folk, we're going to come right where you live today.
We're
coming right where you live today. But prior to marriage, which, you know, our church is split half and half between married and unmarried.
Yeah.
So prior to marriage, I'm not submitting to any person.
No.
I'm submitting to God.
That's right.
And here's the thing, if you're not submitting to God, then it means that you're in rebellion to God.
Which, I will say, if you're single right now and maybe dating, maybe out, you know, looking for a mate, I will say this, how well does that person submit to God? That's like number one, right? Because if they have trouble submitting to God, you better sure know that it's going to be a lot of trouble in trying to submit to you in their relationship going forward.
Now, let me even break that down even further, because sometimes people have different theologies. They have different upbringings as it relates to their scriptural walk. So they might be out of ignorance, not submitting.
Oh,
so how can I tell that a person has a submissive heart? Mm-hmm. There's an air of humility. There's a willingness to learn. There's a willingness to be wrong. There's a willingness to correct.
Not criticize.
Correct. And when you notice those things, it lets you know that they might not be where they eventually will be spiritually, but they are progressing in that direction. I really want you, especially if you're not married, look at the track record of progression in a person's life.
Yes.
What are some things that they've undertaken? What are some projects, some initiatives that they've been proud of? Where have they been able to give back and help someone else out? Because the worst thing you want to do is tie yourself to someone who is self-serving. So, you know, these are just certain things to kind of keep a lookout and keep your eyes open for as you're making decisions in the romantic space. But relationally, all of our submission has to first start to God.
Yes.
And again, we're not having a relationship conversation right now in a setting that is not primarily Christian. I believe that for those who are listening have at least had some relation to the things of God and to the Word of God. So we're talking to the majority of people who ascribe to the Christian faith right
yeah.
now. So your first stop in submission is, how much of my life have I submitted to God?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. And then even in submission to, you know, the person that you're with, because the Word of God does say we are to submit to people in authority, right? So maybe at your job, your boss, like if they're asking you to do something and it's not illegal, immoral, or unethical, but that is your job, you are to do, that's what you're paid to do, right? So there are different ways this looks like, but I think we've pinpointed it more into the marriage. But I think if we get a really good definition of what submission really means, and we break that word down, we can kind of come to an understanding of what does that look like for me? And so in submission, sub means under, getting beneath, right? So what am I getting beneath to? The mission. What is the mission? What is the mission on your job? What is the mission in that friendship? What is the mission in your relationship? What is the mission of your marriage? You know, and when you find the mission, then both of you can then get under that and go forward. But if there is no common ground, there is no foundation to be built upon, you're going to kind of come into heads of who should be doing what. And it's going to be a very relative conversation of what I think you should be doing and what that person thinks you should be doing.
Where there is no mission, there is waste.
I agree.
And the most precious commodity that you have is your time.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think even in the job front, I know during 2020, a lot of people were working from home and a lot of boundaries were crossed.
Mm.
But we felt as if we had to submit to whatever our employer said we had to do at the house. But listen, when you got that job and they said, these are your hours,
you need to submit to the ordinance of the land. And again, on the job, we're submitting to authority because they've been placed there
that's
by
right.
God.
That's right.
And that's the good bosses and
the bad
bosses have been placed there by God. Some of the worst bosses I've had produce the greatest amount of character in my life. All of us want this boss who is, you know, skilled in all of these leadership traits and principles, and they come and they give you words of affirmation every day.
They build you up, make you feel great.
You get quarterly bonuses
right.
each time you do something great and you accomplish a goal. Everybody wants a boss like that. But there are some seasons in your life that God puts a boss in your life that keeps you on your knees in prayer to get the pride out of your heart.
Mm.
And all of these things stem from your walk with God. I know this sounds completely rudimentary, but this is the anchor to all of life's relationships. We have, as a society, said, God, I'm going to move you out of the picture and I'm going to replace you with my own intellect or my own algorithm. Even if we're dating online, it doesn't excuse us from saying, God, should I swipe left or should I swipe right? Which way do y'all swipe? I'll swipe up, swipe down.
That tells you we're not on.
I just want to know. Like, how,
we know you swipe.
Wherever you
we
swipe.
We do know you swipe.
Ask the Lord, do I need to swipe left or swipe right? Whatever it is. Because the algorithms in line with submitting them to God will actually help you to get places further.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to first submitting to God. So when we're now shifting into the marital covenant, so it goes from our walk with God in Ephesians 5:18-20
right.
to verse 21. Now we're going to get into marriage and what it means to submit in marriage. Because if you're not married and you're having a hard time stomaching having to check in with God about the critical areas of your life, do not get married. I'm going to just tell you that right now. If you don't want to be submitted to a person, or submitted to God rather, being submitted to a person is the extra layer on top. So for those who are in marriage, as my wife so eloquently put, sub means under the mission. Our marriage has to have a mission. And I want to talk to couples who may have got married shotgun. You may have got married quick. You may have got married because someone was pregnant, or you know, you felt like it was the right thing to do. And so you didn't go through all the premarital steps that we offer. And if you're an outlet member, you get a chance to meet my wife and I. You know, we go through it with you for free of charge for outlet members. But you didn't do all that. And you're in it. We're here. Mm-hmm. Now what?
What do we do?
Listen. Find out the purpose of your marriage.
Yeah.
What are the things that you and your spouse value?
Absolutely. And I think once you have a family value, and that could be multiple things, right? You and your spouse, or you and your whoever you're with, sit down and talk and write down a list of things of, okay, what do we truly value in our life? Is it family? Is it, what is it? What is it? And write those values down so that you all can, and then this happens too. If you're in an argument, always can come back to, but what's the mission?
Yeah.
Right. And so you have a foundation to undergird you.
But I do want to input this, that submission is not suppression.
And it's not dominance.
And so if we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, just go back one chapter there to Ephesians 4, 15. A part that I want to pull out is learning how to speak the truth in love, or how to have direct communication, or find your voice.
That's beautiful. I love that. And I think dependent upon your personality, right? Because there are some people who are just introverted and more meek and may not speak up as much, right? But then you may have a person that's very extroverted and very just personality, charisma galore, right? And so depending on who that person is, it becomes almost easier for one to step into that finding your voice role, right? So if you are the extroverted charisma person, it's probably going to be easy for you to say things. But you know what this reminds me of, honey? Mm-hmm. The taboo cards.
Oh, so the series is called Taboo, but just for a moment, let's think about the game Taboo.
If you ever played, it's really fun.
If you play the game of Taboo, you know that there's a card that you bring out.
Yes.
And you have an amount of time
that
you have to guess what is on the card.
You've got to say the word at the top of the card without saying the word, the direct words under that card. Because if you say one of the words under the card, you're out, right?
And so the person who is communicating to the people on their team can't say any words on the card,
right?
But they're trying to direct people
to
the word that's at the top. And fortunately in the game, that's how it's played. But unfortunately in life, we communicate that same way. There is a direct issue that we have to talk about. And then there are words that are close to the direct issue that we need to talk about. And we are all over the place trying to say what it is, or pull up, as we call, the straw man. And we're trying to get something off our chest. But we don't have enough strength internally to say directly how we're feeling. Because, again, submission is not suppression. Go ahead and type that in the comments. Submission is not suppression. Being someone who is submitted to the plan of God doesn't mean that you suppress who you are in the situation. So using the context of speaking the truth in love, you got to weigh out both.
Yeah, you do.
When I'm speaking, number one, why am I speaking? I understand you might be right, but is this the right time? Is it the right tone? Is it the right place?
Yeah, that's true.
In order to do that.
And then I want to, give credence, because I know a lot of people say, well, if I'm too direct, don't that come off too confrontational? And no, it doesn't. Direct communication doesn't mean aggressive communication, right? Direct communication can be assertive without being aggressive. It could state your point, state what's going on, state your feelings without attacking or accusing the other person. There is definitely a way to do it, as Ephesians so eloquently puts it. Speak the truth. But when you do it in love, you can say whatever you need to say and make sure that it's done where the other person can accept it.
That's right. And so when we're having direct communication, we want to make sure that we're not going prolonged periods of time. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, meaning don't allow time to go on where you're allowing things to fester in your relationships. On your job, find the proper way to be able to address certain areas that may not be in agreement with what's going on. Maybe you need to get a different perspective. Maybe you need some insight. Maybe you need some mediation. Friends, you know, one thing I'm noticing, because we're using social media so much, is that, you know, everybody gets together and everybody smiles for that final picture, but when we're all out, we're not talking anymore. We're hanging out, but we're on social media while we're hanging out. We're not, you know,
we're not really connecting.
We're not connecting.
We're together, but we're not connected. Yeah.
And you know, you have situations that are festering in your life. There are some people who are watching right now with some issues with people that they just smiled at yesterday. Y'all smiling, hey, how you doing? And no good and well, y'all can't stand each other, because all we need right now is a conversation.
But you know what that goes back to? That goes back to keeping peace versus making peace. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us want to keep peace, and in keeping peace, you actually create more issues because you're still not directly confronting what it is. Something about, you know, a scab or a wound, it looks ugly before it looks pretty again, right? And I think that's how it looks in relationships. You've got to confront the ugly so that it can heal to get better. Mm-hmm. And so I think in our relationships, we have to learn how to make peace. And you make the peace by you coming to that person with whatever it is you have. And I will say this, depending on who you are, we've got to learn how to trust people enough and be brave enough and trust them enough to say the truth. If you're in a relationship where you are scared to say the truth, you are scared to present this for fear of what may happen, that may be a very, very unhealthy thing. You may need to seek some help on how to get out of that situation, because it should never be where you are suppressed and you're in fear of being suppressed.
Yeah. And it's a term that we want to introduce called, we want to strive toward relational equity. Relational equity.
Well, that's not taught a whole lot.
No. And honestly, this is a term that we're hearing a lot about as it relates to situations with education or different things with housing and jobs, where all of these equity conversations are being had. But equity does not mean equal. Equity means lowering the barriers or removing the barriers that stop us from being on equal ground together.
I love that.
That's what equity is, and in all of our relationships, we should be the ones who are initiating what it means to serve each other, serve on our jobs, serve in our homes, serve in our friendships, serve in our marriages.
Absolutely.
And make it a point where we're having the honest questions to see, is what I'm doing, is what's happening causing us to have a greater barrier, or is it causing us to work closer together? Creating and building this level of direct communication happens when you understand the mission. I'll be honest, from a church perspective, when the mission gets clear, you then have the strength to be able to have the conversations you wouldn't have had when you were unsure about what you needed. When you know what the mission is, you know what you need to do the mission.
It becomes easier to fill in those roles, right? It becomes easier. But then I want to also bring a point up, honey. We talked about this before. There is submission and then there's agreement.
Oh, yes. So submission is the first step.
Yeah.
It's the first step. That is.
So once you have a mission and you can come under, you can agree with that mission, come under that mission, you've just submitted, right? Even if you didn't like it, you still submitted.
But the more you work into agreement is speaking more to the growth of the relationship that's involved.
Yeah.
So submission is about, it's
roles.
Unconditional. It's about the role. Based off of your job, if you're submitting to God due to the leaders that are there, God put those leaders in, that's their role. I'm submitting to their role. I might not agree with how they're operating as an organization.
Right.
I might not agree with what's going on, but I am submitted to God. There's still a divide that's there. In our relationships or in our marriage, we could be talking about something, and based off of the roles, again, we're submitting to each other, there could be something that to help you, that I'm going to say this, as a husband, I have to submit to my wife. A great example is that I have to, at times, submit my schedule, my calendar, and ask, babe, I want to make sure that, you know, this is good. I'm an avid golfer. So in order to get out and golf, I've got to check in at home base.
Yes.
And make sure that all of the responsibilities that we agreed to for the mission to go forward are being handled.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times where my wife will say, yeah, babe, that's no problem. I'll see you later. And then there's other times where she's like, And because we have mutual submission, a lot of the conversations in church are very patriarchal, where the man is the one who's dominating. The man is the one who's bringing home the bacon. The wife is to submit to the man.
And honestly, those roles have changed so much. I mean, like, in a lot of marriages, the woman is now making just as much, if not more in some cases, than the spouse, right? And then she's still full-time worker, but then full-time mom, and then full-time wife. So there's so many variables that go on in each family dynamic,
mm-hmm.
right? And so there is a level of relational equity that needs to be shared even among spouses, because if not, it's going to feel very unfair. It's not going to feel like fair play.
So, yes, there are things that I submit to her, but vice versa, there are things she submits to me.
Absolutely.
And there are calls that I've made over the course of our marriage that she didn't agree with.
Yes.
But because we're walking together and we're walking through submission together,
yeah.
as we go, we then get to a place of, okay, I see where you're coming from. And that comes from relationship. If all you're doing is demanding submission, you need to just submit. You need to just submit. And this is year after year after year, and we're not inching closer toward agreement. You're leading based off of your role, not through the power of your relationship.
Yes.
And so.
And it will create such bitterness and such resentment.
And so,
if not,
what we have to do is we have to all commit to building better boundaries. Better boundaries. We got to have better boundaries.
You know, we don't talk about boundaries in relationships a whole lot.
Mm.
We talk about boundaries with everybody else, right? I know sometimes family, you need boundaries with family, and even that is still, you know, iffy topic.
Mm-hmm.
But boundaries in our job, right? Boundaries with people that we work with. But boundaries in a relationship, we don't really, and what does that boundary look like? We don't really talk about that a whole lot.
Well, what we do need to examine is the fear that comes with setting better boundaries. Because we're afraid to set boundaries because we're afraid of losing something that we possibly will set a boundary with. Now, sometimes things may change based off of you setting a boundary. But here's the greater good. When you don't set a boundary because of fear of losing something, you actually lose yourself in the process.
Yes. And I will say, even a job. So let's say you don't set this boundary at your job. Then you end up giving your whole self to this job, right? Or your kids. You end up throwing your whole life into your kids. There's no boundaries there. And so now you lose yourself. Your identity is gone. You're just mom all day, right? Or you lose yourself in your marriage where you're giving all of yourself to your marriage. And then you don't even know who you are. You don't even know what you like, the hobbies you have, or what you're interested in doing, because so much of you has been invested in so much of them. And so in not setting boundaries, you do end up losing yourself. And it's so funny how we figure, I'm going to lose this, I'm going to lose that. Well, they're not going to want me anymore, or my kid's not going to think I'm a great mom, or they're not going to. You lose yourself. You lose you at the end of the day. And that's something that nobody else can help you to identify but yourself. And you've got to... we were watching NPR one time, and the lady said, the best gift you can give somebody else is to be unavailable at times.
Mm.
That's the best gift you can give people. Like, be unavailable. Take your me time. Take your space to self-replenish so that you can be the best person in every relationship that you're going into.
That is so good. So as we're building better boundaries, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, it gives us some parameters of what to look for when we're establishing these boundaries. And really, the boundaries that we are to establish have to be boundaries of love.
Yeah.
They have to be patient and kind.
Mm.
The boundaries we accept can't be done out of jealousy. It can't be done out of being boastful or proud or arrogant or rude. Our boundaries aren't demanding our own way. And that's interesting that we're talking about setting boundaries but not demanding your own way. It doesn't rejoice in injustice, but whenever truth wins out, boundaries, they never give up. Don't lose faith in them. Remain hopeful and endure. Let your boundaries endure through every circumstance. At the end of verse 8, it says, love will last forever. We've got to get clarity and establish clarity. And initially, you're going to experience a level of backlash from putting your foot down. And it's going to be a tug and pull because you're trying to figure out where should I set these boundaries and where can I, you know, be lax. And so there may be a level of tension that you experience.
Or manipulation from the other person, or even try to put on you the
guilt
or shame for doing what you know you need to do for your health.
But as you do that, what happens is after you get through that initial wave of backlash, either those who weren't supposed to be in your life won't be there, or those who are will kind of get through the shock of, whoa, this is something new, and your relationship will come back even better. That's in your relationships. Let's talk romantic relationships. Someone talks to you in a way that's inappropriate. You have the right to say in love, hey, I'm going to ask that you not talk to me and speak to me in that way. They might be upset, like, who do you think you talk to? Listen, you have the right to be treated with love and respect. Mm-hmm. And those who love you will honor the boundaries that you put in place.
That's true. And better yet, I can only love others in the way in which I love myself. So if I'm just letting myself become a doormat for other people, I can't love anybody else because I'm not setting that love up for me. The Word of God says you are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That means self-love has to be there. And then once I know who I am, my worth, my identity, then I can then love you with that same self-worth and that same love and that same identity.
And I want to close on this thing right here because I'm really sensing that this could be a reality for someone listening today. When you set your boundaries and experience a season of solitude because the different connections that you had, you're now getting free from, the different places that you would just carte blanche say yes without regarding the maintenance of your soul, it may cause you to go through a period of solitude. But it's in that period of solitude that God is able to heal your heart and show you that in every relationship, the one person that you need more than anything else is Him. And so allow Him to guide you through those times.
And even in that solitude, y'all, He'll bring the necessary people around you that will help support what you're trying to do. Sometimes it just takes the initial decision of I'm going to do this for me and stepping out on faith when you don't even know what's going to happen. But God has you. He has you right there. And as you step out and you may experience a season of solitude, God's going to bring those friends that help benefit you, that take you to the next level, that understand and respect you and respect the boundaries you've placed.
Amen. So what we want to do is just close out in prayer with you. We love you all so much. You know, we've just shared these past couple weeks from our heart and really touched on some tough issues in relationships that we need to address. You know, before we deal with relationships, before we deal with marriage. In fact, the best setting to talk about marriage and singleness and all those things is actually more of a small group basis because we're all different. We're all unique. Mm-hmm. But what is common and shared is our need to operate according to the Word of God concerning boundaries, to have direct communication, to find our voice, and to allow God to be the one who orchestrates our mission. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you. Father, you are so wonderful. You are so awesome. Yes, the things that we're talking about, they at times can be a little heavy, but Holy Spirit, I'm asking for your grace to guide them, to lead them, to strengthen them in all that they do. Father, as those are praying about where to establish boundaries, our heart's desire is that they are stronger, that they emerge even greater than before with healthier relationships and patterns. Father, we say that every relationship to anyone connected with the outlet, Father, we speak it that it's blessed. May we align our lives to be able to walk in their fruition. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you're out there and you prayed with us today, just let us know. Just say, I prayed with you. You can either put it in the comments or send us a text at 770-667-4899. And we'd love to follow up with you and to just love on you during this time. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, Before we close out today, we're going to go back into another time of worship. We just love closing our sermons, our messages with a song in our heart. And we invite you to join us on eGroups to unpack this message again. And you don't want to miss next week, because we've got another topic that you all want to hear as we continue our series on Taboo. God bless you, and let's worship together.
Church, why don't we sing this in response to the message that was preached today?
Clean my hands and purify my heart. I want to burn for you, only for you. Take my life as a
us whole. We want you to take out anything that's not like you. Make us more like you. Refine us. Revive us. Replenish us. Renew us. Sanctify us to be fitting for use for your kingdom. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a wonderful week, church. We love you. We'll see you next week.